2 Corinthians, chapter number 10. I want to say again, I appreciate the hospitality of the church and your pastor. I love him dearly. And I mean that from the depths of my heart. Sometimes you don't find many preachers that have some convictions like you and bothered by things like you. Or just be able to feel like two peas in a pod, just one a little bit bigger than the other. Amen. Thankful for the one that give the finances to be able to go out to eat today. And don't ever get the captain's platter at the river something place, fish place. Amen. It's too much to eat. Amen. Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. I don't usually say much. I usually get nervous. Amen. I'm a nervous kind of guy. Amen. I was telling the preacher today, it took me about 10 or 15 minutes yesterday to get up enough nerve to go in there and take part of the continental breakfast. Amen. And I'm sorry. That's just the way I am. Amen. I went over the drink machine and stood there a while and tried to get up the courage. Then went out front and stood out there a while. And finally, I went in there. Amen. He wouldn't ever guess that, would you? Amen. But God help us. Amen. Something about preaching, getting up here preaching. Amen. God fills you with boldness. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. I'm just trying to mind the Spirit tonight, feel out the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 10, thank you for standing. We'll read. The Bible says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness, of Christ, who is in presence and base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Let's bow our heads before God. Our Father, I'm eternally grateful for the privilege to bow in your presence. Once again, Lord, as I bow before you, Lord, I bow as humble as I humanly possibly know how, recognizing, Lord, that I am nothing more than the dust of the ground, and Lord, that thou art everything. Lord, I pray, God, just for a little while tonight, that God, you would help us, and you would loose and liberate this service, God, tonight. Lord, I pray and plead the blood, God, of your precious Son, over the spiritual atmosphere that is before us. I pray that you would give liberty in this service. God, you said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we want you to know, God, that, Lord, you're not banned from our presence. We don't want you standing on the outside, Lord, knocking and seeking entrance into the church that, Lord, you purchased with your own blood. But we want you to know tonight, God, that you're welcome in our midst. We want you to know, dear God, that we desire, Lord, your presence, God, to be with us, Lord. God, without you, we can do nothing. And, oh, God, we pray that we wouldn't be here tonight or could be presumptuous about anything. But, Lord, we trust and pray and ask you, oh, God, to perform, Lord, that which needs to be done. God, we stand in need of revival. And, oh, God, I pray that we must understand the need of revival. Lord, I pray that you would do for us, Lord, that which we, Lord, cannot humanly possibly do for ourselves. Give us travel of mind and travel of heart. Open thou our understanding to the Scriptures and the Word of God. Help us, O Lord, tonight we pray. We praise you, God, tonight for being God. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done. Thank you, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, dear Lord, that you, Father, are the God that created it all and in control of it all and occupies His throne. And we pray now that you'd have your divine way. Speak to our hearts and revelate our souls. And, oh, God, we pray that Christ would be exalted tonight. Help us now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in reverence to the reading of the King James Authorized Bible. I'm glad that hasn't changed since last night. Amen. Amen. I want to say tonight that I appreciate the privilege to be here tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you being here. Appreciate the good liberty of the Lord and the privilege it is to worship Him and thank Him for what He's done. And there's nothing no greater than that. I want to look at this scripture today. I've tried to the best of my ability to find the mind of God and try to be obedient to the Spirit of God as we look at this scripture here tonight. And just look at what God put on my heart today. I felt like the Lord may have impressed something on my soul last night as we went to the motel, but I feel like the Holy Ghost has changed my mind this morning. And we want to look at this today in this passage of Scripture. We find in the Scriptures here where Paul is dealing with these issues here at the Corinthian church and how that they accusing him of being in the flesh with his meekness and then being bold one minute towards them. But his boldness was a sign of his love and his authority that he had for them and that he cared for them and wanted to see them, rebuke them sharply, that God would help them and keep them in the ways of the Lord. Now, if you look on them, he said, "But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." They made fun of Paul because of his boldness. His name meant little man. And they made fun of him, such a little man, and with his boldness, and but yet with his meekness to them. And they made fun of him and these different things and the way he approached things. But verse number 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Now, Paul's talking about this here. He said, yes, he said, "I am in the flesh, but I do not war in the flesh." Now, verse number 4. The Bible says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Now, as I begin to think about this scripture here, I just want to take a little brief insert here and say that I really feel like God wants to do something. I really feel that in my mind. If you look at revivals, you figure by maybe the second of the last night, who knows what the Lord has in store. But surely we'd be to the point that we might be enjoying some good grazing from the Word of God. But I feel like that maybe the Lord has so changed that tonight to this message that the Lord has put before us in a hearing. And I really feel like God wants to do something. But I believe that God doing something will come on our own volition of being obedient to the Spirit of God. God has helped us this week. Wouldn't you say that? I mean, could you say amen to that? That God has helped us. God has encouraged us. And God has exhorted us and lifted our spirits up. Amen. That would be my proverb tonight. That we need our spirits resurrected from the graveyard of disappointments. God has begun to do that. Amen. And God has lifted us from those disappointments. And God has let us get a little drink from the oasis of the goodness of God. But as I think about this tonight, and I think that God wants to do something, and that's wonderful, amen. And I think about God give us that mountain. And I'm telling you something, if we're ever going to get to the mountain, we're going to have to do it one step at a time. Many times we can look at the mountain and dream about the mountain, never get to the mountain because we don't ever look at each step that we're taking, amen. But I want to say this tonight, looking at this scripture, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." He's talking about this warfare that he's a warring. Boy, there is a battle that's a raging. I mean, there is a battle. Is anybody in here faced a battle this week in your mind? Warfare, amen. Spiritual warfare. You know, the devil's not going to bother us if we just desire to go to church 3 times a week. Pay a little tithe, give to missions. Glad we've escaped hell. And just glad that God's with us and we want to have this luxurious trip till we get to glory.
But I believe that every born again believer, I believe there's something inside of them, and I believe that's the Holy Ghost that lives in them, that desires to see something greater than what we're experiencing. Amen. And I'm not belittling anything God's done for me, but in my own sin, sometimes I get tired of the stagnation that seems to be drifted in through the ponds of my life. Amen. Boy, I just want something a little bit deeper with God. The Spirit of God searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. Just want to go to another level with God. See God do something in their life. I believe sometimes I tell God, I say, Lord, I feel like I know You, but I don't really feel like I know You. A lot of people know about God, but they just don't know God. Boy, we need that desire in our heart to know a little more about God. But the weapons of our warfare, notice in the Scriptures here, He talks about this warfare that we have. A warfare is a battle or a fight that we're going to be into. Amen. Now, when we got saved by the grace of God, we must understand that God put us into a battle. That we are soldiers of the cross of Calvary. We must understand that. That's why the preacher said earlier that you've got to have some soldiers. You've got to have some people that's willing to not deny selfish interest, goals, and motives and be able to participate in spiritual warfare. You say, what is that? If you feel there's a struggle in the service, bow your head and pray. Slip out of the service and pray. Be able to battle in the spiritual warfare. But I believe that it's won or lost in the prayer closet. Amen. Amen. I believe that. But I want to say tonight that this warfare is a battle or a fight. No, Webster said it's a contest. It is a struggle with spiritual enemies. I want to say to you that you and I are leaking vessels. We're going to have struggles. We're going to have a contest. It's going to be a daily battle to see God do something. Heard a great preacher say this, that one of the greatest spiritual battles that he has is his daily personal relationship, keeping a right relationship with the God of heaven each and every day. Amen. I believe if we're ever going to receive real revival, I believe we're going to have to learn to have a right relationship with God each and every day. Amen. What you got last night, it ain't good enough for tonight. Amen. We don't need old oil. We don't need a repeat. We don't need a clone service. What we need is fresh oil from the glory world. Amen. That's what we're looking for tonight. Amen. We're looking for fresh oil. We've seen God do it in days gone by. We've seen God move in power. We've seen God save souls. But we need God to do it in this day and hour. Amen. We need to see God save sinners tonight. We need to see the power of God tonight. Amen. We've seen God's power on those that have died. But we need God on our lives. But we need people with God on them. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We need God. But as the thing about this warfare, it's a struggle. It's a contest. And I'm telling you something that many times while we don't pray is because the rewards are not in the secret place. The rewards will be openly. Many times we get in our secret place to pray and there is no rewards. There's no stars that fall out of heaven. There's no angels that come visit us and pat us on the back and console us with the efforts that we're putting forth. Amen. But I tell you something, that is the time that we're operating by faith and trusting God in the secret place, that God will reward us openly. And the reason nothing many times is rewarded openly is because nothing has been done in secret. Amen. Amen. But I say to you, this warfare that he gives here, I'm going somewhere in a second, but he says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. These weapons that he's given us, a weapon is any instrument of offense, an instrument for the contest. And God has given instruments and weapons for the warfare. And our weapons are not carnal. Amen. And we're not here tonight holding a gun over your head to come to the house of God. We've not held threats and held bomb threats and suicide threats and different kinds of threats over your head that get you to try to do right. Amen. Those are carnal. Those are carnal warfare. Amen. Putting people under subjection to the law that get them to do right. Amen. But you see, what we do because we love Him. Amen. Amen. But I say these weapons of warfare. Amen. We think about the book of Ephesians where it says in the book of Ephesians about that take unto us the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against rulers of the darkness, of the wickedness in the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we wrestle against, amen? Is spiritual wickedness in high places. If we're going to see revival, I want to mark it down. I want you to know, I don't want you to be feared when it happens, but there's going to be spiritual warfare. There's going to be a battle. There's going to be a contest. Amen? But I want to say to you that our warfare and our weapons are not carnal, but our weapons are mighty through the power of God. Amen? Now I'm telling you something. There is power that will help us and aid us and assist us that we can persevere in satanic opposition and satanic forces to be able to see the power of God prevail. I believe that. I believe when there's a hovering cloud of demonic spirits that are encamped about what God desires to do, I believe that if God's people get on their knees and pray, I believe we can see the spiritual sunshine as sunshine through once again in the hearts and lives of people. Amen? But I'm afraid there's such a great spiritual warfare in our day and air that God's people feel that there's no way on God's green earth that the sun ever shine through a kid, that God would ever do something to where that we could be loose and liberated in the service of God and be loose and liberated once again in the prayer closet. But I believe God can do it again. Amen? But I'm saying something to you tonight that we must understand that God is greater than the devil. We know that we're living in perilous times. The Bible says this, know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. That'll be demonic times. That'll be perilous times. It'll be depressing times. But I want you to know tonight that there is no prophetical scripture that says that the church of the living God has to be in a state of depression and despondency and despair. I believe God is able to send revival in our day and hour. I just want you to know that. Amen. But I believe the devil has pulled the curtains upon us. And when we enter into spiritual warfare, it throws our spirits into array. But let's say tonight, look, you know, I'm going to go to the points in a second, but it said the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They are not carnal. They're not fleshly. Amen. I can't do it. That's right. They're not fleshly. Amen. I can't keep it up, preacher. That's right. You can't. Amen. You can't do it. But I want to say to you, the Bible says, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. Now I want to say tonight, I know the service has been up. I know that we've been in a high place, but I feel like with all my heart, this is what God wants for the service tonight. Amen. But I tell you what's got us bound. I believe what's keeping us from having the Spirit of God just being manifested tonight. I believe what's keeping us from just seeing God break in on your soul and being able to come clean with God and feel that joy and the radiance of the sunshine in the recess of your soul once again is there is some strongholds that are binding this local assembly. This message didn't come. This is a fresh message off the press. Given to us by God, the Holy Ghost led in the motel room, agonized with God, what the mind of God had been. God brought the scripture to our mind that there's some strongholds, amen. There's some places that the devil has got some strongholds in the flesh, and carnality has got the strongholds on this church, amen. I believe God wants to do something. You said I was ready for Him to do it tonight. Aren't we all? But yet I believe there's some strongholds. Now as we look at this, a stronghold, it is to fortify and to hold on safely. A stronghold is a place where there is something that is that is in the midst of something that is being held onto very strongly and very safely. It is a place where the devil's having a very good stronghold on something. It is a fortress. It means to hold in the hand a stronghold of Satan. Now, as I think about this, through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down his imaginations in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The title of the message would be this tonight. It may be very brief tonight, but the title of the message is, what's holding you back? I believe there's some strongholds tonight. This may not be a stomp down, let a rib sweat message. This may just be where a rubber meets a road message. What's holding you back? What's keeping you from having revival in your heart, sir? What's keeping you from having revival in your heart, ma'am? What's got a hold of you that's become a stronghold to you that's keeping you from having what God so desires? It's got a stronghold on you. Maybe a love for this world. Maybe coldness. Maybe carnality. Maybe a desire to fit in. It may be something that's got a stronghold on you. When that stronghold gets a hold of a man, it begins to fortify and to hold safely. Amen. Boy, it's got a good safe hold on it. We don't have to worry about them shouting. We got a stronghold on them. We don't have to worry about them getting their hearts right and getting revived. We got a stronghold on them. We don't have to worry about them getting in the church and getting on fire for God. We've got a stronghold on them. What's holding you back? What's keeping you from having revival? What's keeping you from having the touch of God? What's keeping you from being filled with the Spirit? Is your heart where it needs to be tonight? If we want to, and I'm just being truthful with you. I'm not up here to waste my time. I'm here to preach. I'm not up here to tell us how good we are and shout her out and go to the house and say, boy, we had a real meeting, amen. If we ever see a real meeting thing, it'll be lasting till Jesus comes. That's what kind of real meeting we are. But I'm telling you something, I believe that, amen. If we're ever going to have a real revival, I believe we're going to have to get over these strongholds. And God has burned my heart today that there's some strongholds that's holding this church back from having a revival. Strongholds. Notice what the Bible says here in the Scriptures. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I want to say to you tonight that God is able to pull down the strongholds. God's able to pull them down. The book of Luke chapter number 11. But if I with the finger, verse number 20, of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Fortress. Weapons of warfare. Everything's all right. We've got them. We don't have to worry about them. They'll never be one of those Christians that's on fire for God. They'll never be one of those that just get in there and sell out lock, stuff, and barrel to God. They'll never be one of those young people that get filled with the Holy Ghost and live for God. They won't be one of those that makes a difference. We've got a stronghold on them. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace. See, the devil has to work to keep it. And gives it. His goods are in peace. They don't worry about him, and they can come to church and get their consciences, amen, and get away from the thought of ever moving and drawing closer to God. Amen. You see, the devil offers us a false sense of peace. That we're all right and everything's all right. But where's God? Found myself in the motel room walking around going to the bathroom and I singing, "Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now." God. I believe the power of God's real. I've seen the power of God's real that preacher didn't even have to preach. Nobody had to say nothing. God did the initiating. Everybody was just mad in the Holy Ghost. Amen. What's holding you back? What's holding you back? The Bible says when the strong men aren't keep this palace, his goods are in peace. But thank God the Bible said, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him and take from him all his armor wherein he trusted, that what was holding him back, he trusted in it. He confided in what that armor that he had, but that stronger than he taketh it away, amen, wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. Notice the scripture, but when it's stronger than he, hallelujah, amen. I'm glad even though there may be strongholds that may be holding us back, amen. I'm glad God is stronger than the strongholds of Satan, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Now I know that there's going to be warfare anytime you deal and expose the avenues that the devil uses to hold people back. Now I'm a firm believer in the Holy Ghost deals with people's hearts. I believe with all my heart, I told you it would be a little bit different tonight, but I believe with all my heart the Holy Ghost will touch people's hearts and minds, and they'll sit there and contemplate in their mind while the preacher preaches the things that's holding them back from doing what God wants them to do. Do you want me to tell you something? There's no secret places with God. There's no places that can be off limits to God. You have to come clean with God. Come clean. If there's things in your heart that you know is not right between you and God, right between you and this preacher, right between you and this church, right between somebody else, we're to love our enemies. Do good to those that despitefully use you. Amen? We're to be Christians. But I'm telling you something, if we've been harboring things like that in our hearts, you know what? Let's do it. It's holding us back. Oh no, you're not going to get revived. You're not going to get full of God. You'll not move up in your spiritual life. You're going to be held back. Something's holding you back. See, I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing about nobody. Amen, amen. I don't know nothing. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost of God does. And I don't know, but I'm telling you something. I feel with all my heart there's something holding back. It's a little bit different. But it's the Bible. Now let's look at this. Think about some things. What could be holding you back? If something's holding you back, it'll be holding you down. And it'll be holding you up. It'll be holding you back. It'll be holding you down. It'll be holding you up from what God's got in store for you. One of the hardest things to get a person to do is to jump their pride and admit, preacher, there's things in my life that's holding me up. You say, what's so fearful about that? What's holding us up? Maybe holding the whole church up. What's in your life that's holding you up may be holding up the whole congregation. That's why I said at the start of the service, you never know what's the key to a service. People be honest with God and obedient to the Spirit of God, what's in their heart. Now I know that us Baptists is bad for this, that shovel Christianity. Starts on the front and shovels plumb out the back and nobody ever gets it. But I'm telling you right now, what is hindering us is what's in our own heart. And what's holding you up may be holding the whole church up. And we think we're holding it, but it's really holding us. Do you know what I feel like the Holy Ghost Just a little illustration a while ago. Sometimes we feel like something's just holding us up. And we just can't get to it. Maybe trying to get to that pew. It's holding me up. It's holding me. I just can't get to it. That's what the devil desires. Amen. The devil don't want you to go forward with God. He don't want you to go forward as a church. He don't want you to go forward as a young believer and a young convert in Christ. Just sell out to God. Give Him lock, stock, and barrel. You'll never regret that you did. There may be something that feels like it's holding you back. But if you'll just look, it's not holding me. I'm a holding it myself. Amen. Sin should not have dominion over us. We feel like sometimes it's sin and the devil's holding us down. But it may be us just holding on to it. Amen. If we'd ever realize that God wants to bless us. Amen. And I never forget what your pastor said the other day, that just in the four walls of this church, there's no telling the potential that lays in here. People would just be honest with God that where we stand with God and what's holding us up. Oh, my soul. What's holding you up? What's the Holy Ghost putting His finger on? Let me give you a few things that might be holding you up. Past pain might be holding you up. Because of what somebody else done in days gone by. Because of what some young preacher did. Because of what some deacon did. That past pain may be holding you up. It may be keeping us from having revival. And God doing something in a mighty way. Amen. I'd hate to know that what was holding me up might be holding my loved ones up. It might be holding sinners up. It might be holding up the community from seeing the power of God and seeing God do something. Amen. Could be holding it up. Could be some past pain. Is there some past pain holding you up? If you got some things in your heart, though you may not say nothing about them, you may not even talk to them, but in your heart you think about it, you contemplate it all the time, it overtakes your mind, it overtakes your thoughts, and there's some past pain that's holding you up. But here it is. Here's the past pain. You don't have to let go of it. Maybe past pain holding you up. I'm just trying to mind God tonight. Just pray for us. Past pain's holding you up. It may be a job that's holding you up. Amen. It may be a girlfriend that's holding you up. It may be a boyfriend that's holding you up. Amen. It may be a hobby that's holding you up. It may be the will of God that's holding you up. God may become somebody in the mission field. God may become somebody to preach. God may be dealing with somebody about service. It may be just flat out surrendering to God that's holding you up. Amen. It's even, you don't want to live that life. You're scared. You're afraid. Amen. You feel like it's holding you back. But it's really just you holding on to it, not letting go and just letting God. Now I'm telling you something that's holding us up. Amen. Amen. Now trust me. I love to preach in the glory. Amen. And I surely don't get to preach many revivals. And if I get to preach one, at least sort of do a good job where, amen, you get to come back or something, amen. But the most important thing here tonight is to do what God says. What is the use of me preaching about what revival could be and should be and would be if we're not willing to let go of some things that are holding us back? You know what we do? We get all excited about what revival would be like. Woohoo! And we don't ever get it. Then we go back to last night and we get disappointed in God. The devil tells us a few little lies in our ears and we listen to him. It'll never happen. And I believe the whole basis of what the problem is. How many of us would like to see revival? I want you to be honest tonight. Would you really like to see revival? How wonderful that'd be. It'd be wonderful to come to service and not have to work nothing up.
just flow. You just, all you got to do is jump in the stream and just flow with it. But I'm telling you right now, till we let go of those things that's holding us up, we ever cease to progress to get to the spirit of revival that God so desires us to have. Can I let you in on something, ma'am, sir? I see a lot of you precious ladies, a lot of spiritual people. I tell you, I love you. If you only knew what God would love to do for you, you'd let go of what's holding you back. I have not seen nor heard nor entered into the heart of man what God hath in store for them that love Him. That's not talking about when we get to heaven. That's talking about when we get saved, the things that God has in store for us, present tense. The deep things of God. Brother, I'm doing my best. Is there any ladies here tonight that know about the deep things of God? Do you really know God? I'm not talking about in salvation, no. I'm talking about, do you have communion and fellowship with the God of heaven? Mamas, when's the last time your husband ever caught you in your prayer closet praying? Caught you reading your Bible? Caught you with tears running down your face? Because you rejoicing over the fact that you're eternally secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Husbands, when's the last time your wives caught you in your secret places? Oh, God bless my wife today. God, fill her with the Holy Ghost. Give her to help us to raise our children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. I said, preacher, what's the matter? Something's holding us back. God wants to give it to us. We're holding on to something. It may be the will of God. It may be surrendering. It may be bitterness. It's keeping you from having revival. One of the greatest moves of God I think the church could see. I've been praying for this of the church. God said, grace, let me pastor. It's for this side of the church to start loving this side of the church. You'd be surprised sometimes what this middle aisle divides. I've been praying some of these hard feelings, these old fleshly feelings would be amended. See God's people come together. Yeah, sister, I'm so sorry I've had all against you. I'm sorry and I want you to know I love you. And brother, I want you to know I've had hard feelings. I've thought bad things. And I've had things in my heart that ain't kosher towards you. And I've had bitterness in my heart. And I'm sorry. When we can get to the point we're willing to let go of our pride and our bitterness, and can apologize and just come clean. They ain't nothing no greater. Now, this is simple. This is Sunday school material. There ain't nothing no greater than having a clean spirit. I'll never forget as a little boy. I'm just trying to mind God. I'll never forget as a little boy. I've always been sensitive about things. And boy, I'd hurt mother's feelings or something like that. And boy, I'd go write her a letter and I'd take it in the bedroom and I'd hide it in there under her pillow. And I'll never forget, boy, she'd go to bed, you know, and she'd find that letter and she'd read it, touch her heart, and she'd make her way to my bedroom, come in there and just love on me and hug me. And we'd cry and make all up, Brother Barry. And boy, it's a whole lot easier to sleep at night when I had a clean heart and a clean conscience. Amen. It'd be a whole lot easier to pray if you had a clean heart and a clear conscience. It'd be a whole lot easier, sir and ma'am, for you to shout in the choir if you just get it on the blood, that what you've had in your heart against that sister. against that brother, against the pastor. If you'll just get it under the blood, you can have a clean heart again. The devil's lied to us that you can't, but you can. Amen. It's holding you back. It's holding you back. But the truth is, it's not holding you. You're holding it, and you're holding yourself back by not letting go. Letting God have His way. A lot of things can hold us back. What's holding you back? Look back at our scripture. I know it's been very different tonight. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Three little things. The imagination for reasoning that is contrary and hostile to the Christian faith. You know what to hold us back? That bitterness in our heart and in our minds against the people of God, the things of God. Then the Bible says anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that exalts itself higher than the knowledge of God. When we understand this, that what the things that hold us back is the things that seem to rise above God. Is the troubles you're having, are they higher than what God is? But if they have a stronghold on us, they are and have become stronger and higher than God. But that's why the Bible says that God, our warfare is not carnal, but it is mighty through God to the tearing down, bringing down to where God is higher than that which is seems to be holding us back. God wants us to tear down some of those things. The problem is when things start holding us back, then they become numerous. Then they become bigger. When you get bitter, you'll start being bitter about everything. Everything. Then the last thing there, to think and respond correctly. The Bible says there to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing down the strongholds. One stronger and mightier than the strong man. Who's able to bring down these strongholds. I don't know about you tonight, but I feel the humbleness of the Holy Spirit here tonight.
Yes. Yes.
If we really want to see God do something, we're going to have to deal with the strongholds. You say, oh, you just pulled that out of a sermonette book. No, no, I didn't. What's holding you back? If I could read faces, I believe it'd be the first thing that I could read. And read minds. What's in your heart and what's in your mind that's holding you back, keeping you from having what God so desires? Is it worth it? Is it worth being held back by the appetites of the flesh of the world or bitterness? Is it worth it? No, it's not worth it. I want to see God do something. If you learn anything about this little old preacher, I mean business. I'm serious. We want to see God do something. God's helped us. God's done some things. But I feel like the Holy Spirit spoke to me today. There's something holding us back. Maybe something in your life holding us back. Holding the church back. Maybe something. I don't know what it is, but God does. I want us to stand on our feet. Our heads bowed and eyes closed. Someone could help us out on the piano tonight. I know it's been very different. I feel like it's going to be different all day long. With every head bowed and every eye closed while somebody begins to play the piano.